The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Big year this year, 2026, general election year. It's coming 13th of August, the House of Keys will be dissolved. 26th of August, candidate nomination period closes. So you have until the 26th of August to get your nomination in, get seconded, get proposed, get in. And the big day, Thursday, 24th of September, 2026. So any thoughts on this? The homelessness strategy, Kirsty Morfitt, MLC, wants it to be prioritised going forward. There's also this story about immigration. Apparently, one of the most important subjects to Manx, the Manx population is immigration. Well, any thoughts on that? Text, email, and also happy birthday to Beach Buddies. Right, let's get to the phones now. And David's first with us today. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I just want to raise up, really, the MLC and the embarrassment of our government that an MLC has to drag things up into the public domain to ask for something to be done, which was unanimously supported in 2023, as far as the news item from Manx Radio. And I applaud Manx Radio for putting these issues out, because the general public don't know then what's gone on in the past, or we forget, is about people with homelessness. And we had the exercise last year, and I went through it with an individual called John, and I was really shocked on the hoops and all sorts of criteria, and people were going to help and didn't turn up, didn't help John out at all. I remember him, actually, and this is gospel, that sleeping in a car in Ongan Park, in a car park. And he told me why he was staying there was, and I hope he's listening, because he wouldn't mind me saying this, really, because there was a toilet there and a water supply in the park. And should we be having this in the Isle of Man in 2026?
Well, I think the answer is a very simple no, we shouldn't. But I'm sure the politicians would say it's not quite that simple, because there are different types of homelessness. But this, this in the end, all comes down to some people have slipped through the net.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I can say too is, now we've got Retina Bay now. I'll use that as an example. That's for the government to look at. All the people from Retina Bay now moved to Summerhill Views, a brand new place now. Nothing worse than having an empty place in near the museum. If people don't know where it is, it's by the museum. There are single units down there with toilet facilities and some stuff. There's probably about 30 or 40 units there. Why can't the government encourage one of the other charities like Salvation Army or GRI? They used to do it. We were even short, I think, of probably a bail hospital. Hostel. But do you remember last year where one of the Deemsters, a lady Deemster, said she had to put somebody back into prison?
Yeah.
Because there was nowhere for a person to get somewhere to stay. I mean, come on.
I'm trying to remember. What happened to David Gray House? What happened to the bail hostel?
I don't know. To tell you the truth, I'd love for hopefully maybe one of the charities will come on and say what's gone on, and maybe it's always going to be, and it's shameful, really, the amount of charities that are going to help this government out in the future, and they're not bending over backwards to help the charities out on either helping us where available for properties somewhere to organise something, even a venue, or having discussions. I mean, there's all sorts of things happening on the island, and we don't address them. And it's just amazing me where, you know, you can write things as much as you want, and the consultation's going to be good, as far as I'm concerned anyway. But if nothing's acting on it, Andy, it doesn't go anywhere, does it? And this MLC is saying, well, she's going to try and get it for 2027. It should be done this year, shouldn't it? Why don't we get a team together, get the MLCs, if the politicians are going to be running around the Isle of Man canvassing, looking for our votes? There's a few that won't be knocking on my door because they'll say, what have you done? I'm sorry about that, but that's my view anyway.
Well, we'll see what. But the fact is that this surely can't go on, David.
No. And I hope people come on and say, give us their thoughts. And it's not me just whinging. It's just that I've been through the system with an individual, and I wouldn't like that to happen again. That I could have found him dead in the car. All right, see
ya. Well, that doesn't bear thinking about. We appreciate it, David. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
It's 11 minutes past 12. Apparently the news is in 2019, the Isle of Man government decided to end its contract with the Salvation Army because the property was considered old and unfit for purpose. Services were moved to a new government-run rehab unit at Tramode House, which offered more capacity and expanded support programmes. David Gray House closed on October the 1st of that year, and the staff and new residents transitioned to that new facility in Tramode House. That's what happens. This story about homelessness on the Isle of Man, and it's very easy to finger point, to say somebody has made themselves homeless or they put themselves in that position. Well, let's try and move that to one side. The fact that people are homeless on the Isle of Man means, of course, there will be a proportion for whom it's nothing to do with them. They're just the victim of circumstances. Over 2 years since Timbal passed the Isle of Man Homelessness Strategy, Kirsty Morfitt, MLC, is calling for the legislation to be prioritised, and she wants it to be developed and introduced into branches by June next year, 2027, as opposed to the current timeline, which is 2029. Well, 2027's over a year away, but 2029 is 3 years away. Kirsty Morfitt says, we shouldn't forget, homelessness can happen to anybody.
Homelessness is not something that anybody expects, and people don't want to be homeless. That's not what it's about. But anyone that thinks it's just about other people is not being honest with themselves. And it could be a member of your family, it could be your son, it could be following a marriage breakup. There's loads of reasons to become homeless. And I think if you asked people today, where would you go if you were made homeless now, today, this minute? Luckily, a lot of us would have a family member or a mate that we could keep on the sofa. But how long would those people put up with you for? Because you've got to get a month's deposit. You've got to get your first month's rent. You're looking at £1,200 you've got to save. And then you get that and all you can afford is a bedsit. And how long would your mental health be okay when you're listening to people fighting or having parties, or you've got to share a bathroom and you're a 17-year-old young girl that's feeling too scared to go for a shower, or you can't look after yourself properly because you're sharing a kitchen and everyone steals your food. So on top of that, you're paying rent for a bedsit and you're still having to save to get somewhere better. It's not easy to pull yourself out of that. And there are people that do it, and I've had the privilege to work with so many people that have pulled themselves out of it. But actually, we're starting them off to fail, really. You know, so I would ask people, rather than writing flippant comments, actually think about what it would mean if it was you, or if it was your mum who gets ripped off and loses her life savings, or a relationship breakdown and then you have to go through cancer treatment and you're living in a hotel. These are real life things that happen to people, and they don't want them and they don't expect them.
That's Kirsty Morfitt, MLC, and consultation into the legislation opened on the 18th of December. If you go to manxradio.com, our story's there, and there's a link through to the consultation there. And I'm sure Kirsty wouldn't mind me giving her email address. It's publicly available on the Timbal website. It's kirsty.morfitt, MLC, at gov.im. Kirsty is K-I-R-S-T-I-E, dot Morfitt, M-O-R-P-H-E-T, MLC, at gov.im. But you can go to the Timbal website, and I'm sure Kirsty would appreciate any comments that you make regarding that. As she said, it's time to move away from you know, the personal insults and what have you. There are people on the Isle of Man, and she paints a very vivid picture about what would you do today if you were made homeless? If suddenly everything that you hold dear was swept from under your feet, you could be a victim of circumstance, where would you go? And how long would they like you to sleep on the sofa? Anyway, any thoughts on that? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
Hey, Andy, how are you today?
Well, very well, thanks.
Good, good, good. I was just looking at what set the local internet chats on fire last night, and a lot of clown images came up last night, and I think that's probably backfired on the good doctor. It seems to, Rob Colster seems to have joined in on that conversation now as well. Homeschooling as well. A lot of talk about homeschooling on the different pages last night, politics pages. So that's inspired a conversation as well on the thing. I was looking also at the amount of US military Air Force traffic which has been detected over flying over England and over the Isle of Man, quite a lot. But it just reminds me, I'm just actually the last 2 months I've been right opposite MacDill Airport in on the coast of America, and it's now the Strategic Air Operations Command for strikes. And the amount of traffic that was there in December is very, very commonplace, that the Americans were up to something and going to strike somewhere with the amount of traffic that was going in and out and runs that we were doing. But I must say, I was in MacDill 2 years ago, and what an impressive place. I mean, the warfare that this country's got over here is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
I wonder if they've got de-icer for their runway.
Yes, yeah. I think they got flamethrowers, Andy.
Oh, right, okay.
I seen someone in Canada the other day who was out with flamethrowers on their yards and melting the ice. So maybe we should get a few flamethrowers in there. What do you reckon on that?
Well, you never know.
You never know, do you? You never know. Just a couple of things on yesterday. Just a quick one on Lee mentioning about the contrails and such. Lee didn't listen to what I was saying. There was the people on a subpoena on oath giving evidence that this is happening. That's all I can say. Whatever you want to believe, but that's all I can say is that's what's happening in Congress. Andy, your point yesterday about when Julian brought up about the new cost of the interconnector with the rising costs of copper, yeah, and all the other stuff that goes with it. But your point there yesterday was, if we're not paying for it, what does it matter? Well, going back to what you said, or what you've said quite a few times on the actual magic figure of 29.5, well, it will matter, because there's no way that someone's going to pay double for an interconnector if it's a business like Ørsted and suck that in. So the only people that's going to pay for it is us. I mean, if that figure goes up, it's going to be included into an electric figure. So we're going to be paying for it at the end of the day. Make no bones about that.
I just wonder whether anybody's going to come clean with the actual numbers, with exactly what it's going to cost, and exactly how much money we're getting from, if Ørsted do build these 87,000-foot wind turbines off the East Coast, exactly how much are we going to get and for how long? It will be nice to know.
They're not going to come clean, because people will balk at it. That's for sure. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why people manipulate figures, because if people knew the truth about it, then they wouldn't run with it. You know, you can see the evidence now, which is quite really good for the island, that they sit back and do watch what's going on, because it's slightly fallen to pieces now. You know, the whole thing and what it's actually costing people in countries. A couple of other things I picked up on yesterday as well. The government are asking for an Arabic interpreter for the courts.
Yeah, I saw that.
What's that all about? Yeah, I mean, I thought one of the points of coming to the island when you'd done your intern to come here was that you had a basic knowledge of English and you could speak English. So if we've got people here that are coming here that actually can't speak our language, then who's actually in charge of who's coming here for what reason?
I've heard, I mean, they have asked for interpreters in the past from different languages, not just Arab, but I'm sure we've had, I think there was a Russian interpreter they needed a few years ago. Hmm. So we need them infrequently, we need them.
Infrequently we do, and actually they do use interpretation actually at the hospital, because a lot of the foreign consultants we have there, their stuff has to be interpreted, and absolutely, you know, has to be crystal clear when people are writing this up, the secretaries. So they do have interpretation people up there, and AI use of that. But I'm just interested in why the courts are wanting that, and if they're wanting that, then how many other interpreters and for what reason?
Yeah.
I mean, Arabic is quite important, obviously, at the moment, because, I mean, the Quran was written in Arabic to start with, wasn't it, I think?
Don't ask me. I'm all at sea where that's concerned.
Yes, yeah. From what I believe, might be wrong. And the other thing I picked up on as well, post office. I've now frozen for any new sub postmasters and are going away from retail and just going to be postal services only. I picked up on that yesterday on the news as well. So does that mean that being postal services only, they're going away from any kind of cash that's going to be put into the post offices?
Well, you would assume it means that they're just going to deal with letters and parcels and what have you, and nothing
exactly.
else.
Yeah. So I picked up on that yesterday as well, which, again, is looking at the older people and the elderly who are not moving or going to be moving as fast with this digital world that we're moving into. Where does that leave them if the post office is going to that? But they said that there's no new contracts getting signed for sub-postmasters, and neither is there none taken away at the moment. It's just being frozen. So I think it may be another one to watch out for.
It's a brave new world, Duant.
Yeah, brave new world, or maybe a silly new world, Andy. Who knows?
Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling today.
Take care, Andy.
All the best. And Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Strange enough that Duant just bringing that up about the Arab-speaking interpreters. Who pays for these? Is it the taxpayer, or if this person has committed a misdemeanor, does that go on his court costs or her court costs? Because we're seeing quite a lot of it, more and more so now, and I just seen this here, and Arabic. I was down one day in the government office, I was just waiting on something, and it's rather naughty, actually, because they were interviewing this lady who was wanting to come to live on the island, and they were doing it in the public. I know she could have asked for a private room, but it was in the public, and she had to explain and that she was not fully conversant in English, and I don't know whether she got the passed or not, but that was done. But this is going to happen more and more often, and it's another cost. It's not, well, they say it's going to fall on government. It doesn't. It falls on the taxpayer, because the government don't have any money. So how many more are we going to see of this in the future, with the number of people that's coming to the island, and as I said yesterday, that English is not their first language? And some of them are very clever, where they revert back to their own language, non comprendo, and they say they can't speak English, but the minute they walk in a court, a free man, they're jabbering away in the local language. So this is something that's going to have to be looked into. Is the costs borne by the taxpayer for these? Because if I went to a foreign country and I got into trouble out there, I would have to provide an interpreter. They wouldn't give me one free of charge. So this is something that's going to have to go on the bill. A lot of times, really, their lawyers, they'll get the money out of it.
Yeah.
But they should have the full cost of that interpreter put on their bill.
Well, it could be that this Arab-speaking person is either on holiday or was visiting people on the Isle of Man. It could be that they just caught, you know, they may not be here to live, they just may be here temporarily.
Well, why would they be in court?
Well, there we are. That's another story. We don't know that.
Yeah, but, you know, they don't bring you to court just to say hello to you in the morning. You're in court because you've gone through the procedure, police procedure and everything else. And to get this far, going through the court, they must have had an interpreter for the police, on behalf of the police, to find out, you know. So the costs escalate for every time.
Right.
And these should be borne by the person who's committing the crime or an alleged crime.
It may be that the police, I don't know this for certain, but possibly the police, the constabulary, use technology. They use Teams or Zoom or something like that, and maybe they've got access to a constabulary interpreter from the UK, maybe something the court doesn't have.
Yeah, but these are not free of charge.
That's
true. They all come with a cost.
Oh, crikey, yes.
So that cost should not be borne by the taxpayer, who are not in court, not needed in court, and, you know, somebody there that's allegedly committed a crime of some description is then using the benefits of the country to get himself off the hook. But as I said to Chris before, and it's funny enough, you just mentioned a bit of Russian. I went to the doctor a number of years ago, and you know, I was sitting waiting for over an hour after my appointment time. And when I went in to see her, she was a lovely Jew. Strangely enough, she was Indian herself, but good English. And she said, "I'm sorry about that." She says, "But we had to wait for an interpreter, and the person I was seeing was Russian." So there was me sitting waiting, and people behind me sitting waiting while they brought in the interpreter, this one coming to the doctor, and that was in Douglas. You know, so, but there's also another thing there. The government are asking for another 140 employees. Where are they going to put them? Are they bean counters, pen pushers, or the people that's going to work? 140 new people. Yeah, when Howard Quayle was there, a lot of the present at the time employees were offered the redundancy. And they took the redundancy, providing they didn't come back for a couple of years. How many of them had that golden handshake and are back working for the government? And how many of those who will now look at a means of an income coming in to reapply for the jobs that they used to have?
Okay. All right. Howard, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Take care. Bye now.
All right. 28 minutes past 12. Well, this year we're heading to the polls for the 2026 House of Keys general election. We recently asked Manx Radio listeners which subjects are most important to them ahead of the general election. Among the top issues, and one we'll look at, is immigration.
In the time that we have taken over, which is nearly 2 years since the creators of Cafe Lingo decided to leave, we have seen 25 different nationalities. So mostly Chinese nationality, and then people whose first language is Arabic.
For many people who come here, I imagine they don't have that support network immediately. How many come having no connections at all, but they've come here for work, and it can be quite a lonely experience as well, can't it?
Absolutely. You know, just I've had this experience myself. I've come here as a French native. I've also lived in Italy, and just setting up your electricity, your phone usage, your all these practical things are tough. And then there's prejudgment. You know, at best it can be called curiosity. At worst, it can be called bias, and why are you here? And, you know, so all those questions are not easy. All those topics are not easy, and we're there to show them pathways. Yeah.
What do you think? So 25 nationalities, that's a representative from Cafe Lingo, one of the places where people whose first language isn't English go for a bit of a social life, but also to sharpen up their skills. We don't know why people come to the Isle of Man. I mean, predominantly, if they're coming for work, they're coming for money to improve their financial well-being. But we don't know. We'll never know what their problems are. Homelessness is not new to the Isle of Man, says WhatsApper 475. It's just well hidden and purposely so. I can remember landlords evicting tenants around TT so they could make even more money. And the only help DHS could give was tents. That was some years ago, but I can't imagine things have changed that much. And just to say that David Gray House has morphed into the Bale Hostel at Tramode. If somebody comes to the Isle of Man and can't speak the language, surely they should foot the bill for an interpreter, says Rob. Schools have interpreters as well as in addition to the court. Surely before anybody comes to live on the Isle of Man, they should be able to speak English, says Margaret. Thank you, Margaret. And again, we don't know, do we? We don't know people's personal circumstances. It could be that they simply don't understand. Howard's right. As soon as foreign nationals get in trouble and they can't speak English, everything slows down. Says 8. Do you know that for definite, 801? Have you experienced about that? What happens if the person in court is in need of an interpreter, is only there as a witness? I used to use Google Translate to communicate. I had to go to a police station in Portugal, and the constable's English wasn't that hot. I just used Google Translate to communicate. Does that work? Thank you. And not everybody appearing in court needs a translator because they're appearing as a defendant. The individual could be a witness or even a victim. It may be not even a police matter. It could be a civil issue. So that's Stee pointing out Stee's point of view.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Make Athol Airport Parking your wash-and-go partner when parking at the airport. With no advance booking required, simply park your car in the designated Athol rental return spaces right next to the terminal. Hand your key to our valet desk, and while you're away, we'll wash your vehicle and return your car to the terminal for when you get back. For prices and our full range of services, including comprehensive valeting menu, just search Athol Airport Parking online. Athol Airport Parking, part of the trusted Athol Garage Group.
Cork Hill Storage, Cork Hill Storage. Call Cork Hill Removals and Storage today. We'll store your goods day after day. Safe and secure around the clock. When it comes to storage, we do the lot. Click CorkHillRemovals.com.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
The sailor's on, the sailor's on.
The Millichap sale has up to 50% off across all departments. From luxurious beds and bedding, carpets and flooring, to soft furnishings, stylish sofas, and the ultimate in comfort, stressless. There's something for every home at the Millichap sale.
The sailor's on, the sailor's on, the sailor's on, the sailor's on.
The fabulous Millichap sale is on now, with huge reductions store-wide. Call in today.
The sale is on.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
Mother Nature scuppered their opening plans of 2026, and now FC Isle of Man will be aiming to finally kick off the new year this weekend. The Ravens host Burscoe in the NWCFL Premier Division on Saturday, and the Manx side will be hoping to avenge a 5-0 defeat to their visitors earlier in the season. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Darren Timpson for FC Isle of Man versus Burscoe, kicking off at 6pm this Saturday. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1360. Channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hey, Faster Mike, good afternoon. 26 minutes before one. Good afternoon. Good morning to a happy birthday. Happy New Year to everybody at Manx Radio. Thank you, Malcolm. As we the people can see, the world's in a state of confusion and indecision. Perhaps now's the time for the Isle of Man to become serious about becoming more self-reliant. I mean, for our government to support the farmers and the meat plant and the fishermen and local suppliers. Let's put some positivity into the island's political critical thinking. Cut out all the unnecessary form filling. Just get on and do it. No, says Malcolm, I can't stand as an MHK. I'm too old and I'm not politically correct enough. I'm a concerned citizen. Thank you, Malcolm. And thanks also to Julie, who said, I agree with your idea about potatoes. What? Oh, before Christmas. We're talking about, if we're really serious about, you know, reducing our carbon footprint and not using plastic, and also the ethical use of agriculture and what have you, why don't we outlaw foreign potatoes and just grow our own potatoes? Got the capacity to grow thousands of tons of spuds on the Isle of Man. We could do it if we really wanted to. And again, I'm not being flippant about this. It will be a token. It will be something to say we care about the world, because we're just going to grow our own potatoes, eat our own potatoes. So all those food miles would just be gone. It's a thought, isn't it? Something to look forward to. Manx Spuds. Robert's with us. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? You just caught me with a bit of ham in my mouth from my latest omelette.
Oh, jolly good.
One thing is, do you ever experience cut lip? You know, when the cold weather comes in and you need to get one of those lipstick things on your lips or whatever, one of those gels that you put on your lips to make sure they're not chapped.
Why?
Well, I was down Tesco, and they do a really good one. They've really improved them, because they used to be quite jelly and not a very satisfying thing, but now they're very easy to apply, and I much appreciate Tesco for doing that. So that's my first thought. So you get down Tesco and get one for yourself.
Okay.
The second thing is Harmer standing in Kurt Michael at all for the elections?
Well, if he stood, I would imagine Ray Harmer would stand in Peel, because he was a former Peel and Glenn Faber MHK, and he's a Peel commissioner now, but we don't know whether Mr. Harmer's going to stand. Why?
Well, he could do. You know, I mean, he wouldn't be the best, but, I mean, at least it would fill something, wouldn't it? And the other one is the Liberal Vannon candidate down in the south of the island. I'm not sure where. I think it begins with R or something. But that is something that people need to bring themselves forward to Liberal Vannon now and start making their moves if they're going to. I mean, I'm putting them up slightly, but I'm sure they'll appreciate the support. But, you know, they need to make moves now. So you need to approach, I think it's Paul Weatherall, and have a chat with them. But people are starting to, you know, you can see chess pieces moving around on the table, can you not, Andy?
Well, we'll see. I mean, there's a long way to go until August, when the candidates' list closes. So there's seven months and more to go before all that happens. And we don't quite know. Mm. We don't know.
Well, it's not time enough anyway. It's very much a frenetic time for a lot of people who are under the guise of standing as an MHK. So good luck to them, and I wish them the best.
Okay. All right, Robert, thanks for calling today. And it might be interesting, of course. I think, I can't remember, was it a caller who said a few months ago that getting rid of the bishop's vote was a Liberal Vannon proposal. Is that right? I mean, it's put forward by their MHK in Ramsey, Laurie Hooper, as to whether or not it was a Liberal Vannon proposal. Any thoughts on this? Defendants or witnesses already legally resident in the Isle of Man. Now, somebody may have lived on the Isle of Man for years, be working, paying tax, or have settled status, but not have a strong enough English for legal proceedings. Courts are required to ensure that they fully understand what's being said. Also, this is regarding having translators in court. Victims or witnesses in criminal cases, interpreters are often needed for people who aren't defendants. For example, victims of crime or key witnesses. The justice system has to be seen to be fair to everybody involved. Also, in family and domestic cases, interpreters are frequently required in family law, safeguarding or domestic abuse cases, where clear communication is essential for safety and due process. Also, mental health health and vulnerability issues. Some people may speak limited English due to learning difficulties, trauma or health conditions. An interpreter helps avoid misunderstanding that could lead to wrongful outcomes. And regarding Arabic, well, there are about 20 different Arabic languages. Is it Amazigh, the Berber language? They're distinct. Somebody may not understand formal Arabic well enough for court, even if they speak in a dialect fluently. Courts must use the correct language. Crikey, we're learning so much today, aren't we? A couple of things I want to bring to your notice. Yesterday, I don't know whether you recall, but we had a call in from somebody talking about planning and property sites and what have you on the Isle of Man. It was a call by somebody who, bluntly, if you listen, made rather a serious statement mentioning the word corruption regarding the planning process. Well, this has quite understandably ruffled a lot of feathers. In particular, the chair of the planning committee got in touch with me, Rob Callister, MHK, one of the Onchan MHKs, and said he'd be very pleased to meet the person ahead of the next planning committee on Monday, 26th of January, to explain the actual planning process that each application must go through, especially those applications that go before the planning committee, which consist of a political chair and six members of the public. Each application is accompanied by a detailed report and an officer's recommendation, which the committee may either support or throw out. The planning committee meetings are held in public. Anybody can go and take a look. The next meeting takes place at 10 a.m. Monday, 26th of January at Murray House in Douglas, and you're more than welcome to pitch up. In fact, if Adam or anybody wants to speak to Rob Callister as chair of the planning committee, he'd be more than happy to discuss how the planning process works. And in fact, Rob Callister will be on Man in Line in the next few weeks to talk about this very thing about planning. But just one thing I want to bring up, and that is concerning language like corruption. This is an opinion program, and people have a wide range of opinions. However, first of all, Manx Radio is the legal publisher of this program, and as such, distances itself from anything regarding libel. So that comment regarding, and again, we were talking about this Kell property site in Andres. Now, people work on that site, and this is not helpful at all. In fact, intimating that something may have gone on in the planning process, even though, and Adam said it was prime agricultural land. It's not. To Brownfield site. You may remember there was a huge greenhouse complex there, and the developers taken years to get rid of all the broken glass and get the permissions and what have you. So all I will say is, and I've mentioned this many times, Manx Radio is a legal and codified broadcaster under statute and under law. This is not the internet chat room where you can say whatever you want and ho, ha, ha, never mind. It matters. So all I'll say is the vast majority of people watch what they say. But any accusations of anything like that could go to law. Libelous statements could go to law and court proceedings could happen. I think you understand what I'm saying. This isn't an internet chat room. This is a grown-up broadcaster, and there are consequences to things that are said. And that goes for everybody who sends me notes about this, that, and the other, and what have you. I understand that you send notes in, but really, would those notes actually stand up? Hi, Frank in Wrexham. Following on what Howard was saying regarding who pays for a translator in Spain, if I go to a doctor's and health centre, I'm expected to present a translator at my own cost. A question I've asked several times, of course we need immigration on the Isle of Man. I'm in favour of working people relocating, but how many dependents arrive with people? And what constitutes a dependent grandparent, uncle, aunt, in-law, cousin? Where is the cutoff? We don't know for certain, do we? It will be interesting to know if someone comes as a worker, who's allowed to come? Is it the spouse? Is it children? Is it granny and granddad? What are your thoughts on this? Certainly the vexed question of immigration, and this has been around for years. Remember, the Isle of Man traditionally has had a one-way flow out. Our population goes down. And there have been many censuses in the past when it's almost been a crisis point, when we went down to, I think it was 1961, to 45,000. So we do need to attract people to the Isle of Man. Again, this is something that will come up all through the year as we head towards the election.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
Immigration. Now, if the population has risen so little since 2021, who are those living in the many estates being built, some of which are very large, says Helen. They can't be all new-time buyers and are not suitable for last-time buyers. And to the MHK, who said it's healthier for older people to continue living in houses with stairs, good luck to him if he reaches old age. The story goes on, doesn't it?
If you have children, pets, or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from $199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
They may try to offer you a tasty carrot. Perhaps they'll try to give you some stick. But whatever you do, don't become a money mule. It's just not worth the risk. Don't let anyone move money through your bank account, however tempted you may be. You could end up facing serious consequences, including a criminal record, bank account closure, as well as difficulty securing loans or credit in the future. A message brought to you by Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the IOM Constabulary, and Cyber Security Centre for the Isle of Man. For further information, visit csc.gov.im.
Hello 2026. Hello £200. When you upgrade to Manx Telecom's Go Roam Ultra with a handset over 36 months, you'll get £200 to spend on anything in store. Because joy scrolling shouldn't be seasonal. Enjoy unlimited local data and 40 gigabytes of roaming data in 37 countries. Offer ends the 31st of January. See mt.im/terms for terms and conditions.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Filshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
As the weekend fades and the night draws in, slow it down with the Chill Out Show.
Sunday Chill Out. Chris Pearson, Manx Radio.
The Manx Radio Chill Out Show. Sunday evenings from 7.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 12 minutes before 1. Lot to comment in today regarding the interpreter. One could be needed for a victim or a witness also if their English is enough to get by day to day, but not for technical jargon or legal process. Very sad if this is causing people annoyance, particularly when fairness in the legal system means you should understand everything that is happening to you, says Heather. How long would it take for a religious group to take over Tynwald, says this correspondent. Sally said, wouldn't take much, says Sally. Well, it depends what you mean by take over Tynwald. There are 24 MHKs and you've got the MLCs on top. I don't know what you're envisaging, Sally, to be quite honest. What do you think might happen? A wider question, where are immigrants who can't speak English working and where they're paying taxes? Are they in the black economy, paying nothing but costing the Isle of Man money for assistance? Foreign holiday visitors presumably need visas. That's GAS on 313. The biggest bill for most UK police forces is interpreters. It will be the same here soon, if not already. That's 075. Regarding the estate in Andrus, that's a brownfield site. The estate in Jerby is going up on a greenfield site, says Ian. Well, there's a big plan, isn't there, for Jerby? A big plan for lots of houses to go at Jerby. I mean, there used to be thousands of people at Jerby, tens of thousands of people at Jerby. It was called RAF Jerby. So I just go back to the fact it's a government plan to get 100,000 people on the Isle of Man. It may not be your idea, it may be not your idea of common sense, but it's the government plan to get more people into the working population, because the more people, the more we have economic activity, the more it generates funds for our public services. The public services have to be paid for. Manx care has to be paid for. Our care system has to be paid for. The pensions have to be paid. That has to come from somewhere, and that will be economic activity. Well, on to something very pleasant now, and this is a friend of the show, Bill Dale. This week marks 20 years since Beach Buddies Isle of Man started. Bill Dale started it when he and a former partner were walking on Balaff Beach, and their dogs kept taking bits of plastic over to them. It was only when they investigated further they realised how much waste was on the seashore. Now, bearing in mind we are, what, 80-plus thousand people on the Isle of Man, in 20 years, 22,000 different volunteers have volunteered for Beach Buddies. And hundreds of tonnes of plastic, rubbish, garbage, muck has been collected. Bill Dale.
There was plastic dating back 20 years, even in those days. So the following weekend, we went back with a pile of bin bags and thought, let's just clean up. Little did we know what we were letting ourselves in for, because we went back five different times over five weekends, and every beach in the Isle of Man was in a mess. So we decided, why don't we have a go? And just on our own, the two of us and the dogs cleaned up quite a few beaches, and then we asked for some help, and the whole thing exploded. So what a nice reflection this is on the Manx people. I'm amazed, really, but it appears that the Isle of Man is the only place which has a complete system which works. 20 years ago, you walk 5 yards and fill a bag. So we have done something special. I mean, I just can't get over the fact that it is actually such a simple concept.
How many tons of rubbish do you think the organisation would have picked up over the two decades?
We were picking up over 100 tons a year when we started. The majority of it now is lightweight and it's plastics. But in those days, there were hundreds and hundreds of things like tyres and wheels and big barrels and things off fishing boats and fishing nets. So over the years, it's reduced quite dramatically. So now, every year, it's around about between 25 and 30 tons. That's without counting the recycling. I kept statistics on numbers of people who turned up. Up to this point, where we've gone past and we're on the way to 22,000 different volunteers. In terms of the number of volunteers who keep coming back and duplicate over the years, it's into hundreds of thousands of hours.
People have taken the concept of Beach Buddies to other parts of the world as well.
The son of a very good friend of mine who works in Hong Kong, he phoned up and he said, I'd really love to set up something here. Would you mind if we set up a group called Beach Buddies Hong Kong? And I said, oh, absolutely, you know, give it a go. He continues to this day.
Bill Dale. And if you want more information about Beach Buddies, of course, every Sunday, they're normally out and about, but you can go to beachbuddies.org.im for details of the organisation, how you can help, what you can do, what they've done in the past. But really, it's a very, very simple concept, and that is picking rubbish up on the beach. Something the Isle of Man has proved to be absolutely adept at and very successful. And more power to the elbow of Bill Dale. Just walking along Balaff Beach with a dog and picking up rubbish. And suddenly more and more and more, hundreds of tons of it. And Bill's been on the show many times. Of course, he's always on the show that we do from the Royal Agricultural Show. Quite what we do about it. Marine plastic is always a big problem. Marine plastic pollution is ranges in size from large material like bottles and bags down to microplastics, formed from the fragmentation of plastic material. I remember Bill saying years ago, the River Liffey was a big source of plastic on beaches on the Isle of Man. The Irish stuff was just floating down the River Liffey from Dublin and ending up on the Isle of Man. Microplastics and nanoplastics result from the breakdown or the photodegradation of plastic waste in surface waters, in rivers and oceans. Now, plastics. Recently, scientists have uncovered nanoplastics in heavy snow. So they're going everywhere. This is not just about a Ribena bottle from Ireland or a fishing net from an Ulster trawler. This is about pollution on a microscopic scale that affects all of us. And the prevalence of this on the Isle of Man, take aside Beach Buddies, fantastic organisation. This is something that we are going to have to deal with in the future, and that is the degradation of plastic into nanoplastics and microplastics. Have we sorted it out yet? No. Of course, nobody sorted it out. But we're doing something on the Isle of Man that not many other people do.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Oh, I just want to bring to your attention, Michelle Haywood, MHK, the DOI Minister, is going to be on Man in Line a week tomorrow, Friday 16th. Michelle Haywood will be on to talk about, well, maybe we'll even talk about that runway or anything else regarding the DOI. You can get some questions in the meantime, 682-631 or email maninline@maxradio.com. For the rest of January, we're off to the schools, King William's College, on Tuesday the 20th, Wednesday 28th, Ballacameen High School, to talk to the Year 12s and 13s. And in February, the Chief Constable is going to be in. Russ Foster will be on Man in Line towards the end of February. A note in just to say regarding a Tynwald takeover. Regarding a Tynwald takeover, now this is Texter 762, who says apparently the Tynwald takeover has happened already. But we're not allowed to mention those involved. Oh, come on, 762. Either you know or you don't. Come on. Stop sitting there glowing with pride. Tell us all about it, or do you really know? Is this true? That's it. Back tomorrow, Friday. Another open line. Thanks for getting in touch today. We really appreciate it. We read every message that comes in. Not every message gets to air. You should see some of them. Right, that's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
WINT